Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello there and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. Barry Murphy again here from the news team. As this is the first podcast of the year, we'd like to wish all our listeners and readers a happy new year. We have a busy time ahead on many farms with lambing and calving getting underway in many places, but hopefully everyone got some sort of a break over the Christmas period. Lots of farming news in this week's podcast, and over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll be joined on the line by Sheep and Schemes editor Darren Carty, deputy news editor Amy Ford, political correspondent Pat O'Toole, and news correspondents Declan O'Brien and Rachel Donovan. Between us, we'll discuss how Irish farms are to be inspected by satellites every 5 days in 2023. We'll also look at the results of our exclusive survey of nearly 2,000 farmers, covering income fears, voting preferences, schemes, and land demand. Tierlan's fixed meal contracts, dog attacks on sheep, and farmer penalty points are all also on the agenda. First up, Darren, we'll come to yourself. You report on page one that four powerful space satellites will inspect Irish farms every 5 days in 2023. Look, there'll be a lot of questions about this one, Darren. Will they be counting stock in the fields, or what's the purpose behind them at all?
Yeah, look, there is, Barry, there's a lot of reaction to it, and even questions around, will they count stock? Can they count stock? Will they be able to check when slurry is spread? Will they be able to check when silage is cut? All of these questions. And yes, like the technology that's there is phenomenal. Now, what the department are going to use it for, say, first off, is this to police or to check compliance for the basic income support for sustainability, which will replace the basic payment scheme and the areas of natural constraint in 2023. And there's a couple of things that they're looking for in particular. So one is that they want to identify any ineligible structures. Examples of that might be, say, a farmhouse, a farmyard, a farm site. And listeners might say, well, sure, every parcel might have those. It's, I suppose, ones where there isn't a defined boundary put in around them, and also where the boundary or the deduction made might not be accurate. That there is, say, some parcels of land that might have a deduction made to the overall claimed area, but it doesn't actually have, say, mapped in the actual structure itself. So going forward, them structures have to be mapped in. The other thing is to see the crop that's claimed is the crop that's grown. That'll probably be more of an issue for the likes of tillage, where there's a change in crop is in a lot of years. And the last one then is around picking out ineligible areas. And the biggest one here is probably scrub. So it's not that the department wants to penalise farmers around, say, the percentage of scrub that's there, because we know going forward that farmers will be paid for scrub under certain circumstances. It's to actually quantify how much scrub is there to be able to see, well, is a farmer going to get paid for scrub? Does the percentage of scrub come in under the thresholds for payment, etc., or for keeping that parcel, being able to claim that area towards your stocking rate, etc.? And then the last one, or the second component of it, will be to see around farming activity. And this is quite an interesting one, because it's something that the department has to hone in on more, is that every farmer will have to answer the question of, is there farming activity, or are they an active farmer going forward? For most farmers, that'll be a stocking rate. But for others that might be, say, selling crops, it could be whether or not hay or silage is made. Or it could be along the lines of, seeing what sort of environmental dividend is being delivered as well. So that's something that needs to be taken into account.
It's a very interesting one, just the idea of satellites up in space, honing in on a particular farm to, I suppose, maybe give the department a bit of the method to cross the T's and dot the I's in terms of what they're paying out and in terms of eligibility and so on. So it is an interesting one. I'm sure we'll get plenty of reaction to it, and we'll cover it in the weeks and months ahead as it is rolled out further and farmers soon realise just how closely they're being watched. But just sticking with yourself, Darren, as well, we've seen some horrific dog attacks on sheep report this week, with a Tipperary farmer losing 70 hoggets over Christmas. This comes up every year, Darren, and particularly ahead of and around lambing. It's the same stories, the same all the time. Farmers getting impacted and getting hit with dog attacks. And I'm sure a lot of lads now looking at that kind of the gruesome images from that Tipperary case, they'd be wondering, you know, what can they do if dogs arrive on their land and start marauding amongst their stock and attacking their animals? What can they do?
Yeah, it's dim images were genuinely, they were very worrying, very depressing to see, Barry. And as you say, look, it comes up every time of the year, this time of the year. Like, first of all, we do need more inaction around dog microchip, dog licensing. But as you say, if dogs come on, what legal rights are farmers? I suppose the first thing our colleague Katrina Morrissey has a piece in this week is this: knowing when you can shoot a dog. And that's essentially, you can shoot a dog if it was worrying or about to worry livestock, and there's no other reasonable means of preventing that. If there was a dog straying in the vicinity of a place where livestock had been injured, or if the defendant has reasonably believed that the dog had been involved in the injury of killing, or there was no practicable means of seizing the dog. Like, the other thing, I suppose, that he's being focused on in the piece is that there's a couple other things, and it's around, I suppose, maybe follow-up. And when a dog attack happens, it's very easy to get caught up in everything that's going on. And the piece sort of, I suppose, hones in on contact the guards, may request that they come out and they do a report, contact the dog warden, request that they come out, do a report, contact the vet, get him to do a report, also to put a value on their time, the amount of losses, etc. And then keep evidence, even something along the lines of taking pictures and informing your insurance company, because all of these things are important in hopefully catching the perpetrating dogs and being able to maybe get some compensation for your losses. Like, at the when a farmer has animals attacked, as you know yourself, like, you're not thinking of compensation straight away. You're just thinking about trying to save the animals, trying to reduce the stress on them. But after the event, all of these things have an impact. Another thing is to try and tell as many of your neighbours, particularly if dogs haven't been caught, and try and spread the word around it.
No, that's it exactly. Darren, you said it yourself. It's the things that farmers don't think about when they've had an attack. You know, when they're trying to look after the stock and they're worrying about maybe yours that were in lamb and how will they lamb out and that kind of thing. But there is essential reading there on page 27 from our news editor, Katrina Morrissey. And as Darren's gone through, it goes into the do's and don'ts for the impact and analysing the impact and putting a cost to it on a sheep attack on your flock. So look, thanks for joining the podcast, Darren. We'll move on to Pat next. Pat, in our other page one story this week, you look at the farmer income fears for this year. We have the results of a major farmer survey in this week's paper covering a wide range of topics, and I'll bring everyone in on now in just a few minutes. But first yourself, Pat, you cover off farm incomes and write that more than half of farmers are moderately or very concerned about their incomes in 2023. What did the survey find?
So we've talked to just under 2,000 farmers, and it shows that over a quarter of them are very concerned about farm profitability in 2023. About half of farmers are either moderately or very concerned, but only 6% have no concerns at all about profitability. So it's obviously on farmers' minds. Now, 13% of farmers think their income will actually increase this year. 51% expect that their incomes will fall. And 11% expect that their income will fall by more than 20%. So, you know, that will be very significant. What's interesting, though, is that almost half farmers, 43%, are positive for the year ahead, and 4% of them very positive, whereas the negative farmers who are negative, only 3% of farmers are very negative about the year ahead, and more than one in four are negative by 27%. And I think what this tells us is that, you know, there's realism in a lot of farming sectors, especially tillage and dairying, they're showing they're the most positive about the year ahead, but they the ones who expect their income to fall because they had such a good year last year in both those sectors. So they don't expect it to be as good this year. And the sectors who are most vulnerable, who have the lowest income, dry stock farmers, are the ones who are most negative about the year ahead. And that makes absolute sense.
No, they're interesting figures. And another one that we looked at as well was the, and I suppose it's reflective of farmer positivity about the year. It was the farming voting preferences in terms of politics. And you report on page 5 that Fine Gael has come out top for farmers when asked who would they vote for, I think, in the next general election. So what way did it line up? Was Fine Gael followed by Fianna Fáil, or which parties are most popular amongst the farming cohort?
So really consistent levels of support for them, all the major parties, really. Fine Gael around 37%. That's only slightly up on the last two surveys. Fianna Fáil are on 1% up. Fianna Fáil are on 23%. And that's an unchanged figure from June and September. Sinn Féin have dropped again. They had risen to its highest level since we started recording these things back in 15 years ago, when we started polling farmers on politics. They had risen to 16% in June, but that dropped to 13% in September. And now the December poll shows that they're down to 12%. So they'd be disappointed in that, I think. Independents are the third biggest party, although they're not a party, but they command 19% of the vote, only 4% behind Fianna Fáil, with the rest then Green Party and A&2 on 2%, Labour, People for Profit, and the Social Democrats on 1% each. So very steady. And in terms of approval ratings for Minister McConlogue, a steady rise. He's up in terms of positive ratings, up by 7% since September. He's now at 37%. And that's up 16 points on the 23% approval rating he had in June. And his negative ratings have also improved in that he's down at 27% negative rating now. That's compared to 31 in September and 43% negative rating in June. So it may be that, you know, the divisiveness of the debate around CAP and schemes has washed through, and farmers are taking a more balanced view of how the minister is performing and are warming to him after all the fractious battles of 2022.
No, good stuff. But it's always great to get those farmer views, particularly there when there's so many figures. Look, just to summarise, was Fine Gael out top, and that McConlogue has improved his positivity rating amongst farmers. Look, Pat mentioned the deck on the CAP side of things, and look, it is in the survey as well, and we have a full spread on it on pages 6 and 7. But you're right that over 50% of farmers are still unclear about how the new CAP will impact them. This is the story at all our events we're talking to farmers about the CAP. They're still unsure. You know, is it a case really of the information being there and they're not actually stepping up and reading in or reading about it or making themselves aware, or is there still such a poor kind of lack of awareness raising amongst the farming population?
I think it's a combination of a number of factors. I think things were good last year. Prices were up. It's a complicated story. It's very fluid and it's always moving until it's nailed down. So fellas say, well, I'm not going to get invested in this until the whole package is agreed. But it kind of begs the question, what was Charlie McConlogue doing with his chicken and chips tour of the country, the marts in the country? Because after all his efforts, still 51% of farmers say they're either not clear or they have no idea how this CAP package is going to impact them, while a further 41% are just somewhat clear. And the only crew that seemed to be very clear on what's in CAP, 8% of the respondents to our survey, which is a fairly poor turnout, you'd say. So that's the standout message, I think, from it.
Yeah, no, very poor understanding there. And well, I would say, though, to any farmer listening who is unsure about any of the CAP schemes all to come into place this year, to just read up as much as you can. We've a bank of information there on our Farmers Journal website detailing the schemes, their detail and kind of what's involved and how you can make sure that you're capitalising on the payments you can secure out of them. So plenty of reading there and advise any listeners who are doubtful at all to tap into that if they can. And just staying with your self deck, it's one you've covered quite frequently as well in recent weeks on land demand. And our survey showed that 1/3 of dairy farmers are on the hunt for land in 2023. Are they the biggest player in the market at the moment?
Well, they are really. They're setting the tone of the whole trade, of the leasing trade. And we have seen that in land lettings right across the south of the country, particularly. Well, the south and the east. And, you know, with prices, they're up 100 euros an acre. They're hitting prices of 350 to 450 for good grazing ground and up to 500 in exceptional cases. And it has, as we've written on a few occasions, it's the nitrates that's driving it. That's primarily a dairyman's issue and a dairy woman's issue. And a third of the respondents, the dairy respondents to this survey said, 34% of them said they're hunting land. And they're the boys and women driving the price of land leasing.
Yeah, it's definitely one we're going to keep an eye to throughout the course of the spring as farmers, dairy farmers look to get more grass for cattle and so on. But look, just to cover off the survey then, Rachel, you report on page 7, the farmer said they'll be switching off the lights to cut energy costs. Look, obviously energy costs have gone up a lot over the last year, and I think a lot of lads will have the cattle in the dark this winter. But what did the survey find?
Yes, I suppose the farmers were asked what actions they're going to consider to reduce their energy costs as a whole. And the main one was to cut electricity use. So 57% of farmers said that was how they were going to tackle the challenge. You had another 33% then who were going to invest or have invested in solar, rooftop solar. And another 30% then said they would switch supplier. And I suppose, interestingly enough, the majority of farmers who plan on going with the solar, going down the solar route, are tillage farmers. So those are the main figures there, Barry.
Yeah, no, nice and simple there with the measures that farmers are looking to cut energy costs with. And I suppose, look, just to summarise the survey, there's lots of figures in it for our listeners and for our readers. But it is important, I suppose, to take stock of farmer views. And we've crunched the numbers and there's a full spread, as I said, on pages 6 and 7. And we have more on pages 1, 3 and 5 of this week's paper. And that's an exclusive survey from the Irish Farmers Journal of nearly 2,000 readers. But just to move on, so Pat, we'll come back to you very briefly and back to dairy as well. On page 9, you report that confusion remains with the Tierlan fixed milk price scheme and that a meeting is to be held on Friday. Pat, look, you've been tracking and the team, we've been tracking this one for a while. What's the latest for Tierlan suppliers?
The scheme officially closed the deadline for the milk price support scheme, which was created by Glanbey in April and was adjusted about a month ago to take account of complaints by suppliers that it wasn't delivering for them. It's one of three instruments that Glanbey created to try and alleviate the problems for farmers with fixed milk price. So farmers fixed across a range of schemes at 31 and 32 cents a litre. Prices and costs on dairy farms went way past that last year. The first thing that they did was they put a payment called the input support payment outside of the basic payment as an element of all milk in Tierlan. So farmers in fixed milk supply contracts were getting a little under 6 cents a month on top of that 31 or 32 cents. They also put in what effectively is an interest-free loan. And the third element then is this milk price support scheme. And what that did was it took milk, which was in existing schemes, and paid an extra payment. Instead of being on 31 or 2 cents, it went to 40 cents in 2022, 38 cents in 23, and 38 cents in 24. But it did extend the commitment of the milk that went into the support scheme into a fixed price scheme for a further year or 2 years, depending on where the milk came from, because some schemes that farmers were tied into ended on the 31st of December just gone by. Some of them aren't scheduled to end until the end of 2023. So they're very complicated. And what Tourlaine have been doing since they made the amendments, they've been sending offer letters to suppliers who are tied up. And some suppliers have over 80% of their milk in a variety of fixed price schemes. They've sent the offer letters, and they've also been contacting every single supplier who is affected individually to talk them through the impact that the offer would have on them. But suppliers aren't happy. There's a breakdown in trust in some cases. There's confusion, despite the efforts of Tourlaine to explain the consequences of the accepting the offer. So the IFA are holding this meeting, which is the second meeting, public meeting they've held on the subject on Friday in Kilkenny. They've invited the board and management of Tourlaine to attend. As we revealed yesterday, the management have said they won't be going. They are starting a series of information meetings for suppliers themselves next week. They're running from the 11th to the 18th, and so they won't be attending, but it is expected that some board and council members of Tourlaine will be there. And I was at a meeting that was held in October in Carlow on this issue, and it was one of the most difficult meetings I've ever had to attend and report on, just in terms of how affected this relatively small group of people are by this situation. So
yeah, it's definitely sink or swim from at the moment, Pat, for those farmers. And I know, look, you'll be there, I understand, on Friday. And again, it's another one of those complex things for any farmer impacted by fixed milk who wants to know where they stand. There's plenty of reading on it there on the Farmers Journal website. And Pat, you've covered it, and other members of the team have covered it well as well. So we'll have an update next week on the podcast from that meeting. Thanks for joining, Pat. We'll move back to Deck yourself, if that's okay. Report on page 4 that there were 12 farmer deaths in 2022. This is off information from the Health and Safety Authority. And unfortunately, on the 2nd of January, we had another farm death, or the 1st of 2023, with a young man in his 20s dying in what was understood to be a tractor incident in County Galway. Just very briefly, can you update us on those figures from the HSA?
Well, last year's figures show that farm deaths increased by one on 2021. There was 12 died compared to 10 in farming and 1 in forestry, so a total of 11 in 2021. This is well back from previous years. In 2020 and 2019, the number of farm deaths, farm-related deaths, was 20, so it's back significantly, but the HSA is saying that calling on farmers to continue and to maintain their vigilance. Overall, the number of deaths in work-related accidents fell to its lowest since the HSA was established. It fell from 38 in 2021 to 26 last year. The only other sector, farming obviously remains the most dangerous sector. The only other sector with multiple deaths is the construction industry, which had 7 deaths. So as you say, there was another death last week, in Galway. So it just shows it's a continuing issue, and one that a lot of vigilance and care is needed. It's also a very emotive issue, obviously.
Very much so, Dick. And just, you know, to remind farmers heading into the busy lambing and calving period that farm safety and health and safety is so important. And we'll hopefully not see those figures, or we'll continue to see those figures, decline this year. Just moving then on to Amy. Amy, you report on page 12 that farmers on phones make up 70% of tractor penalty points. This is an interesting story, and it shows the extent of, I suppose, you know, an unsafe practice that farmers are on their phones while driving the tractor on roads. What did you find?
Yeah, Barry, I suppose it's kind of nearly an annual story at this stage, just taking a gawk at the penalty point figures for tractor drivers during the year. Look, driving a tractor while holding a mobile phone, it's the most common offence for anyone driving a tractor that's getting penalty points over the last 3 years. Our analysis of the data from the Department of Transport shows that 889 farmers have committed driving offences while in a tractor and received penalty points over the last 3 years. And 657 of those, that's over 70%, were issued with penalty points for driving while holding a mobile phone. So obviously there's an issue there. Driving without reasonable consideration is another area where they fell foul of the law, just over 70 farmers being hit with penalty points for this offence, and 13 farmers received penalty points for driving with no insurance. And I'm pretty sure that's up on the last time we've covered the story a couple of years ago. Driving with no insurance, look, there is no excuse for it. Another issue, defective of or bald tyres. A number of farmers also ran through red lights and received points. And the numbers obviously differ per county. Cork had the highest number of farmers hit with penalty points at 103. It was followed by joint second with Tipperary and Wexford at 72 and Meath at 70. Leitrim, I don't know, should I say, Leitrim had the luckiest farmers. There's only two penalty points in the last number of years there, and five in Sligo. I'm not sure what that says, but look, the data shows that there's less penalty points there. And look, there's a full map and a breakdown there, as you said, on page 12 of this week's paper, and it makes for interesting reading.
Yeah, very much so. Plenty of reading in it, Amy. Thanks very much. And finally then, we'll come back to yourself, Rachel. On page 3, you report that there were a dozen redundancies taken at Keenan's. Listeners will be familiar with Keenan's in Burris, County Carlo, and a well-known company. But why is it cutting staff numbers?
Yeah, so Barry, there's a mixer wagon or a diet feeder company there in Burris, County Carlo. And I suppose the news is that 12 of its members in the Burris branch took up voluntary redundancies before Christmas. So basically, Keenan told us that in September they put out a notice to the team to express an interest in voluntary redundancies. 16 applied and 12 were accepted. So I suppose speaking to, in a statement from Matt Higgins, General Manager of Alltech Farming Solutions, he said that similar to many businesses, Keenan has been impacted by the global challenges in the last year, including the continued effects of the pandemic, supply chain disruption, inflation and the war in Ukraine. So I suppose that was these realities has required the company to take these difficult decisions.
Yeah, no, hopefully they don't decline further on that one. And it's an interesting story, Rachel, and I'm sure reflective of what many companies are facing at the moment. But thanks for joining the podcast. That's all we have time for this week, folks. Plenty more in this week's paper and on Farmers Journal Online, including news of the resumption of beef exports to China. The market was closed in May 2020 following an atypical case of BSE here, but the door is now back open. We have full analysis of the market prospects and farm org responses online and in next week's paper. More on those and all discussed by the team today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. Thanks for joining and for listening. Safe farming, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.